Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Philippians 3 verse 12 through to chapter 4 verse 1. So you can begin looking that up now. This sermon was recorded live at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. After reading the passage, we'll hear the children's talk. So, if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. And so let's hear the reading of Philippians 3, verse 12, through to chapter 4, verse 1.
Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Amen.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Can those of you who've been with us for the last little while, can you remember what we've been learning about these past few weeks? What's the book of the Bible that we've been studying? Can you remember? Yes, Ellie? Philippians. And that's a letter that Paul wrote to the people at Philippi, called the Philippians. And can you remember what the big message is? What does he want them to know? Hannah? That's right. The church is a team. Can you remember that? Can you do that with me? The church is a team. Excellent. Good job. Now, what's this? It is a ball. You're exactly right. Now, Do you think that you could grab this ball and try and roll it and hit the very middle of the door? Do you reckon you could roll it and hit right there? Do you want to give it a go? Jed, why don't you stand up? Stand up. You stand right there. You roll it and try and hit right there. Oh, so close. So close. Good job. Now, Flick, do you want to have a go? Can you roll the ball and try and get it right there? Roll. Whoa. So close. Now, does anyone else want to have a try? Yes, I think you'd better have a try. You stand up. Come over here. Good. Stand. Yeah, good. Have a roll. Oh, that was so close right there. It's very tricky, isn't it, to aim at a target and hit it. Did you notice that? It's very tricky to aim at a small target and hit that target. Do you know, in the Bible passage that we just read, Paul, he talks to the Philippians about aiming for a target. And do you know what that target is? Yes? What's that target? You don't know? Yeah, do you know? God, that's exactly right. The target is God. The target is Jesus and knowing Jesus. Okay? When we are living our lives, our target is to know Jesus more and more. So we were rolling the ball and trying to get it to hit that point in the door. But all of our lives, our target is to try and know Jesus more. And we want to know him more and more and more until the day when he comes. Because then when he comes, we will know him the best. We will know him so much better than we've ever known him. And you know, the church is a team. The church is a team, and so we want to help one another as we aim for that target of knowing Jesus. Do you know how we can help each other to aim to know Jesus more and more? When we're helping one another to aim to roll a ball, we might say, no, move slightly to the left, move slightly to the right, or a bit harder, a bit softer. That's what we might do if we were helping one another to roll a ball to hit a target. But if our target is Jesus and knowing Jesus, how can we as a church help one another to know Jesus better? Do you have any ideas? Yes? I'm going to share them. Yeah, Ellie? We can read the Bible. And we can even share what we've read in the Bible with others, can't we? Maybe when our parents read the Bible with us and we read some of the stories of those of the Bible, we can come to church and we can share some of those stories with the grown-ups or with the other kids. And we can talk about how amazing it is, the amazing things that God has done, the amazing things that Jesus has done, the amazing way that God loves us, because we all want to be aiming, not for the door, but we all want to be aiming to know Jesus. And we can all help one another to know Jesus better by talking about him and by sharing what we read in the Bible. Okay, so let's say a prayer. We're going to close our eyes. We're going to hold our hands so that we're not distracting other people and not being distracted. Hold hands, close eyes, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the amazing news about Jesus. We pray that you would help us to aim to know him more and more in all of our life, and help us to help other people to know him and to love him more and more. Remind us that the church is a team, and so we are to help others in the church to know and love Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's come and let's pray to God as we think more about this part of his word. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we are so thankful that you have revealed yourself to us in your word so that we would know you, so that we would love you. We pray now that your spirit would be at work in our hearts and minds, that we would not be distracted by other things, but Lord, that your word of power would sink deep in us and that we would delight to hear. Lord, use my weakness and these weak words powerfully in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's something special about holidays. Being able to put normal life on hold and do something different. Even if you really like your home, your job, your life, there's something special about putting the normal day-to-day stuff to the side. Regular responsibilities, they get postponed, at least some of them, and you've got time to do other things. You can visit people and places, enjoy fun activities. You can even just laze about and do nothing for a while. One of the holidays that I look forward to are the ones that my family take after Easter. We've made it a tradition to go camping, which sounds stressful with five kids, and it has its stressful moments, and bedtime is tricky with babies. And yet it's still something that I look forward to. It's so different to what normal life is like. We set up the campfire, we roast marshmallows, we go on day trips. It's a fun experience. And sometimes it's something that the family looks forward to every year. What do you look forward to about holiday? The people you'll see, the places you'll see, the weather you'll experience. Whatever it is that you look forward to, that you long for, Paul wants us to lift our eyes higher, to long for something greater. Greater than a break from our normal life, greater than interesting scenery and fun experiences. He wants us to long for Christ's return. And because the church is a team, like Paul has been saying all through Philippians, we're to spur one another on to long for Christ's coming. We'll look at this passage under two headings. First, in verses 12 to 16, Paul tells us to aim for the prize. And second, in verse 17 through to chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, stand firm in the Lord. Aim for the prize and stand firm in the Lord. That's what those longing for Christ's coming will do. So let's look at our first heading, first section, verses 12 to 16, where Paul says to aim for the prize. As we come to verse 12, remember, he's just explained in the previous passage, he's just explained how he's thrown into the bin everything that he once thought would get him to heaven. It is all rubbish. It's worthless, he says. It doesn't matter whether it was his Jewishness or his ability to follow God's law and be a good person. He knows that his righteousness is like filthy rags to God. He knows he is not good enough. He needs a righteousness from outside himself. And that's what God gives. Remember verse 9, having a righteousness which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. And it's having this righteousness which means that he will attain the resurrection of the dead. Paul knows, and he wants us to know, that we're not accepted by God because of anything good in us. Which brings us to verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Paul wants to be absolutely clear. The power of Jesus' resurrection is already working in him, verse 10, by raising him from judgment, by the Spirit working in him to live a new life. So resurrection is working in him, but he hasn't experienced the fullness of the resurrection yet. This is what's known as the now but not yet of the Christian life. Every week, Beck makes a cake for Mainly Music. And every week, I aim to have a lick of the cake batter. And that lick gives me an idea of what the finished product will be like. How much lemon does it have? How much chocolate? How much cinnamon? But it's not the end product. I haven't experienced the texture of the finished cake. And even the taste when it's put into the oven, the taste will change somewhat. But that lick makes me anticipate the cake even more. And that's what Paul is saying about the resurrection. He's had a lick of it, but not the completed product. He's been raised already from spiritual death to life. His life has been changed. The Spirit lives in him. He belongs to Jesus. He knows Jesus. But he hasn't experienced the actual cake yet. His life has been changed, but he still sins. He longs to be made perfect, to never again have those moments of shame, because he won't sin anymore. And so he presses on, he says. He continues to suffer for Jesus, to hold on to him, because Jesus has made him his own. Sometimes when thinking about our resurrection, we focus on the new body which we will receive. And while that is great to long for, and it is a promise of the resurrection, and that longing that we have, it grows the older and the sicker that we get, that is not the greatest part of our resurrection. That's not the greatest thing that we should look forward to about it. At our resurrection, we'll be freed from even the temptation to sin. Even more, we will have an eternity with Christ in his presence. Paul said back in verse 8 that he wanted to gain Christ and to be found in him. We have that as soon as we place our trust in Jesus. But right now, it's like uncooked cake batter. When Christ comes, when we experience the resurrection, it'll all be brought to completion, the fullness of our hopes and our longings. But how will he get there? Verses 13 and 14. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Like he said in verse 8, everything that he could have boasted in and relied on, he has thrown into the bin, he has forgotten it, and instead he strains forward. He's like the runner giving it everything that he has, everything that he can, to finish the race. This is what we'll see at the Olympics. He's aiming for the prize. And how does he get the prize? Not by finishing first, like in the Olympics, but by finishing the race in Christ, by dying in Christ. Christ is the prize he's aiming for. Eternity with him, perfection, joy, peace, it all comes in Christ. And he says in verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if any one of you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Is your life all about Christ? Is he your aim? Do you long for Christ's coming so that you can be with him in your resurrected body in perfection? This is so much better than the hopelessness of atheism, where we just become worm food. This is so much better than the self-focused eternity, self-centered eternity, which Mormonism promises, where they actually believe that we become gods ourselves and creators of new worlds. Paul wants us to aim for a prize which is worthwhile. And that prize is Jesus himself. Eternity with him. That's so much better than being worm food. That is so much better than being a god ourselves. To be with Jesus and to know him and to love him and to have him know us. That is what eternity is all about. What are you aiming for? The average Aussie just wants to be happy. They'd love riches, but they're not expecting riches, and so they'll try and be content with, you know, just basic comfort. They want a nice life, a job which is rewarding, a loving family, good holidays. That's the ideal. If they can die with that, well, then they'll die happy. Don't be content with that. Don't live like that. Paul is urging you, long for Christ's coming. Aim for the prize, which means you're to live as though Jesus is coming. And what will that look like? Well, let's get back to the basics. It will mean you're practicing the normal spiritual disciplines, because that's where you meet Christ. You will pray, you'll read the Bible, you'll be part of church. Have you noticed that when you pray, your heart is warmed toward God? As you've poured out your heart to him, you feel closer to him. That's a blessing that we should chase, that we should strain after. When you read the Bible, you experience a God who is so much greater and holier, lovelier, and more loving than you expected. You discover new things about him, which sparks your love. And when you're part of a church, not just attending church, but part of a church, serving, encouraging, discussing, sacrificing your own comfort and preferences for others, when you're part of a church and you're engaging with it, that is when you're most encouraged. That's when you feel like you belong. When the mission of the church becomes your mission. The church is a team, and when we act like a team by praying and reading the word and serving together, that's when together we are aiming for the prize of Jesus. That's when we start longing for Christ's coming, because our gaze is drawn away from ourselves and our short-term desires. We long for Christ's coming by aiming for the prize of Jesus himself. Aiming for the prize will impact what we buy. Can we sacrifice to be generous? Do we always need to go on amazing holidays, or will we sacrifice that because that's not the prize we're aiming for? Because we know that when we're actually with Jesus in eternity, in the new creation, we won't actually regret that holiday that we didn't experience. When we're with Jesus, we're not going to think, oh, gee, I wish I could have done that. I wish I could have gone there. We're going to be with Jesus. Not that holidays are bad. I love holidays. But are they what you live for? Long for? Are they the focus of your life? Or is Jesus the prize you're aiming for? And are you pointing your church, your team, to that glorious prize? That brings us to our second heading in verses 17 through to chapter 4, verse 1. Stand firm in the Lord. To gain the prize we're aiming for, Jesus himself, we need to stand firm. And how do we do that? Well, first, verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Remember, the church is a team, and so we're to be looking around at our team, asking who is it that we can imitate? What is it that we're supposed to imitate? Well, in this letter, we're to imitate Paul's attitude about Jesus and the gospel. In his suffering, Paul wasn't concerned about himself, only that the gospel is going out. He knows that if he lives, his life is all for Jesus. And if he dies, well, he's with Jesus. And now Paul's particularly saying, imitate him in his longing for the resurrection. While they suffer threats and hardships, the Philippian church, while they suffer, he wants them to look at him, at his attitude, his expectations, his manner of life, so that they would imitate him. But not only him, they're to look to others and imitate others in their attitude. This is one reason why it's so important that we be a genuine community. Because if we don't know each other, if we don't know those who long for Christ and for his return, then we're just shooting ourselves in the foot. We're being attacked by the evil one every day with temptations to sin, to despair, with pressure from society and work, our workplaces, our family, our friends. Paul wants us to be armored against those attacks. And one piece of our armor is the community of God's people. It's our examples in the church who keep their gaze fixed on Christ, longing for his coming. Now, that doesn't mean that they need to agree with us on the details of how the end times are going to work out. I've been having a lot of discussions lately about the end times and discussing the four major ways that different Christians expect all the end time prophecies in the Bible to be fulfilled. And we can disagree on how it's all going to work out. But here, all that really matters is that the person is longing for Christ's return. Longing for him to come, to rescue his people, and to wipe their tears away, to bring justice for the abused and the hurting, that every knee would bow before him. You might disagree strongly with someone else's expectations for how the end times are going to work out, how it is going to work out that Christ will come. But if they're longing for Christ's coming, imitate them in that longing. Imitate them in the hope, in the assurance, the spurring on that his coming brings. Paul's saying that we need to stand firm because in verses 18 to 19, he now introduces the enemies of the cross of Christ, enemies of the gospel, enemies of the church. And notice that Paul's not speaking with hatred. He's not speaking with scorn. He says, "For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ." If you're not a Christian, hear Paul's words. Whether this is your first time in church or you've been coming for years and haven't placed your trust in Jesus yet, you're just not ready to say that it's all true, that Jesus really did die and rise again, you might not consider yourself an enemy. And given you're here, I doubt that you are the kind of enemy that Paul is particularly talking about in this letter. Here, right here, he's talking about persecutors. See, I doubt you're the kind of person who's going around bombing church buildings or threatening people for their faith. But in the Bible, and even in Paul's writings, there is a sense that you are an enemy of God, just like all of us before we had Jesus were his enemies. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he describes all Christians as once being God's enemies, rebels against him. This isn't a pleasant thing to say, but it's something that you need to hear because it doesn't have to stay that way. Look at verse 19. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. You might have a horrible sense that this is true. But maybe instead of glorying in your shame, you are feeling a sense of conviction. You feel badly about your thoughts and your actions, and you want to be washed clean. You feel dirty. You want to be washed clean. You can be. If you place your trust in Jesus, you will be washed clean. You'll become a citizen of heaven. Verse 20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body." Instead of Jesus' coming being a time of dread, those who trust in Jesus long for it, because his coming is our salvation. Salvation from those who hate us. Salvation from our sin, which we hate. And because the church is a team, we're to stand firm in the Lord together. Encourage each other with these truths. We're citizens of heaven. We are an outpost of heaven in enemy territory. And our Savior is coming. Long for Christ's coming and don't give up on it. Stand firm in the Lord. Remember, the Christian life is not like an individual sport. It's a team sport. On our own, instead of standing firm, we are more likely to stumble and fall. To stand firm in the Lord, invest yourself wholeheartedly in the team. The church is God's gift to you. He saves us and he makes us part of his people, that we would encourage and spur on and challenge and teach and comfort and support each other. We're to do all of this longing for the day when our struggles will be over, when temptation and persecutions and despair will be gone, when our Saviour from heaven returns. So stand firm. Maybe you've heard that saying that someone is too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use. Don't believe it. It's by longing for Christ's coming that we can stand firm. It's longing for his coming which spurs us on in our faith. It gives us courage. It gives us hope. In the face of the world's threats, your trials, your inner despair, your feelings of guilt and shame over sin, continue to aim for the prize of knowing Jesus. Stand firm in the Lord. Long for Christ's coming, because he will come. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we are so thankful that Jesus indeed is coming, and we pray that he would come soon. We pray that we would long for him all the more, that he would be our great aim in life, to know him and to love him more deeply. Lord, that we would stand firm in our faith until that day when he does come, that we would encourage one another to stand firm, to long for him, to aim for him. Lord, it's so easy for this life to distract us, but our God, may our priorities be right. May we be focused on him. May we live for him and long for his coming. And we pray, Lord Jesus, come soon. Amen.
I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, if you have a question, or if you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.